I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my husband Kevin and I have been talking a lot lately about the need for wisdom. And we've been praying fervently, asking God, raise up more and more wise leaders in every area of influence in our world today. And Scripture says that we have access to wisdom. We just need to ask for it and believe God will provide it. And, you know, I feel like that's one of the best kept secrets in the Bible, you know, that God will lavish wisdom on those who ask and those who believe that He'll provide just as He's promised. My guest today writes this: we all have blind spots. I do, and you probably do too. But if we get on our knees and humbly ask God to bring them to light, it's amazing what can change in our life and relationships. As you humble yourself, God will start to lift you up. Jimmy Page joins me today to talk about the book he co-authored with his friend Dan Britton. It's a little like a leather-bound devotional. It's titled Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. It's one of those very motivating, kind of keep your eye on the prize kind of type of devos. And we've got 7 copies to give away today. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. I got a couple quick announcements before we get Jimmy on. One is, maybe you've heard this if you follow me on social media, but about a little over a month ago, I did something not so smart. I like to ride my cycle and I get into my anaerobic zone, and I was working out very hard, and I got off the bike while my heart rate was still really high. And long story short, my heart rate didn't come down for over a week. It stayed up kind of high. And then from there, it started to surge. And so after a week of that, I remember doing one of the shows here, and my heart was beating out of my chest during the show. And I'm like, oh my word, something's not right here. I called the doc and they said, get to the ER immediately. Well, long story short, initially they said when I got there, we think you may have had a heart attack. And it was just terrifying, but it wasn't that. It was kind of an arrhythmia. So I've been wearing a heart monitor for 2 weeks, just tracking the surges. They've kind of been slowly coming down, but I've pushed that button on the heart monitor several times a day because my heart rate would jump up and stay up. Well, a week ago, Tom Phillips, he's a vice president for Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, had him on to talk about revival. And you got to hear that interview. It was so good. You'll catch it on the podcast if you want, but I loved every word of it. But right prior to the show, Tom just said, hey, can I pray for your heart? And I said, sure, I'd love that. He prayed and we went on, did our live show. And honestly, I just didn't think more about it because I'm so focused on the show. The show's over. Probably 2 hours after the show, I realized, wow, my heart feels normal. And then the next several hours into the night, I'm like, huh, I still didn't make the connection. Can you say dense or what? But by the next morning, I'm out for a walk, and it just occurred to me, I wonder if God healed me when Tom prayed for me. And I still had one more week to go with that heart monitor. The first week, I was pushing that button several times a day. I have not pushed that button since. I took it off yesterday. I'm mailing it in today, and my heart has completely steadied. God healed me. And I just needed to testify to that because it was drastic. It was racing and surging before, and then it just stopped. I don't get it. I don't understand why that happens and why. I mean, there's other parts of me physically that still need to be healed. But, hey, I'll take it. And maybe you just needed to hear that today because God still performs miracles. One more quick announcement. We are doing this Fully Alive online study. It's free. We really want you to join us. But what I learned is the deadline to sign up is July 5th. It won't be open after that. And you'll get emails every week, and we'll be walking through the journey of inner soul restoration and healing. I do hope you'll join us. Find the information on our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jimmy Page's mission is to inspire and activate the heroic potential and greatness in others. He's a speaker, writer, trainer, and leadership coach who serves as the West Divisional Vice President for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he's a friend of the show. Jimmy, welcome back. It's been way too long since we chatted.
Well, it is so good to be here, and that's a great intro. I mean, you always make me feel so good to come on the show.
Well, God is good, and he's busy and active on the earth today, and we so appreciate all that you do for the kingdom, Jimmy. We just love you and appreciate you. So you know this, we love to start every day talking Scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a passage that you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
Well, you know, with all the craziness in the world right now, there's a lot of crisis, a lot of challenges. So for me, it's been Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It's, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, where he's seated at the right hand of God. And then set your minds on the things above as well, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's been a really important verse for me recently, you know, because I think so oftentimes we get mired in the mindset of what's happening all around us, you know, the chaos of life, or the uncertainty of life even. It doesn't even have to be chaos. It could just be uncertainty. And maybe, you know, that's when you focus on all the stuff that's happening around you, a lot of times that anxiety and worry and fear creep in. And it really prevents you from accomplishing your purposes. So it's been a real important verse for me.
Boy, thank you for sharing that. Well, I've known you for a number of years, and if someone asked me to pick one word that describes Jimmy Page, I would say intentional. I mean, you live life so intentionally, and I want to know, were you born that way, or did you just start to see the fruit of intentionality over time, where you kind of thought, you know, this, there's something here, and you cultivated it as part of a core value? Tell me.
Well, I think it's, I'm not sure, but I have kind of enjoyed in my life being a little bit of an underdog. So I was always the littlest kid in class, and that really bothered me a lot. And I remember days coming home and just crying to my mom, like, Mom, when am I going to grow? You know, when am I going to be as tall as the shortest girl in my class? You know, it was just such a, you know, tumultuous time. So I kind of had that underdog feeling. So I had to work a little bit harder. And I think whenever you're forced to work a little bit harder, you become an intentional person. You realize that things are not just going to happen and unfold unless you really take some initiative and kind of go for it.
Boy, that's good. I mean, we just hate the underdog role, but I'm telling you, you're so right. When you're in that place and you got to work a little harder, climb a little higher, it forges something in your character I don't think can get any other way. Well, I want to just sort of pick away at some of these devos and this wisdom walks. So let's start with this one. It's called titled Rumble Strips. Talk about that idea.
Oh my gosh, such an important one for all of us, right? And in particular, I've experienced so much of this in my life, you know. Many of us have probably had those circumstances where we're driving our cars and maybe we're not paying attention, or maybe we're getting a little sleepy and the car veers outside of the yellow line a little bit, and then you hit those rumble strips along the side of the road. And those rumble strips are designed to alert you that you're heading for danger, you know, and it's really designed to, as a wake-up call of sorts, so that you take corrective action so that you don't end up in the ditch or worse, but instead that you can navigate to your destination safely. So for me, I've had that feeling, you know, where I've gone over the rumble strips and it's shaken all the way through to the steering wheel, and I've been jolted back to paying attention to the road. And just like that in life is, what are the limiters? What are those warning signs that you're going to put up? What are those limits you're going to put on your life that warn you when you're heading towards danger, when you're going to make a poor decision, when you're going to not make the wise decision? You opened the show by talking about wisdom. You know, what are those things in your life that are meant to keep you far from sin, far from danger? And then you set those boundaries up, not as a way to limit your freedom, but instead as to limit the damage that's done to your life when you make bad decisions that go outside of those rumble strips.
You're right. This God uses warnings to wake us up, keep us on track, and prevent disaster. So I want to take each of those one by one. Wake us up. You're right. This, sometimes our defenses are down and we don't realize the decisions we are making could lead to a big mistake. They seem innocent, even harmless at the time. Other times we're blinded by emotions, or we think we're strong enough to handle the situation. And, you know, the enemy is prowling like a roaring lion seeking. He's looking for an opening. And if he finds it, he'll take it. And, it is so important to be sober and alert. So speak to that, if you would.
Well, I think one of the things, if I were to put a word on top of that, it would be complacency. You know, I get used to the routine of life. I get used to maybe the consistencies of my rituals, my routines, my daily life. And sometimes people would say, you know, you get in a little bit of a rut. And sometimes you feel really comfortable. And one of the things I've learned in the last year, we had an opportunity to work with 6 retired Navy SEALs. And the first lesson they teach you is to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I thought to myself, gosh, you know, that's where all the growth comes, right? When you're uncomfortable. So this idea of being woken up out of your comfort zone, sometimes when we get in that comfort zone, we let our guards down. And that's when the enemy likes to attack, because he knows that we're not on guard. He knows that we're not paying attention. So these rumble strips serve as an early warning system, if you will.
Yeah, and you know, another aspect of the idea of being woken up is overcommitment. When we're saying yes to all kinds of things God never asked us to say yes to, it's not sustainable. We get exhausted and we take shortcuts. And having worked in radio for a lot of years, I've seen it, Jimmy, where I've seen leaders rise up out of the fray, but then they kind of believe their own press. They're doing too much. And in a moment of weak vulnerability, you know, where their defense is down, they make a decision that devastates their reputation. Now, that doesn't just happen to leaders. It happens to overworked people behind the scenes. And rhythm is hugely important in order to stay awake. Yes. I mean, just as someone who's driving is maybe done too much and they're exhausted and they fall asleep at the wheel, it's the very same thing in life, isn't it?
No question. You know, when you get overwhelmed by the pace of life, a lot of times you don't realize that you're vulnerable. You know, you feel like things are going well. Sometimes I don't realize it until I take a break. I don't realize how badly I needed that break. So we're vulnerable when we're overwhelmed, when we're overscheduled, when we're, stressed beyond what we can normally handle. And sometimes that creates weak spots. And so, oftentimes you'll stumble or you'll make a mistake that you would never have made had you been rested, had you been, following those normal, good, healthy practices. And your mind was alert and sharp. A lot of times you can avoid those things just by slowing down.
Amen. We're going to pause here. I'm talking to Jimmy Page. He co-authored the book with his friend Dan Britton, Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. As I said, the book, short devos, short readings, but they just kind of help you keep focused, stay intentional. We've got 7 copies to give away, 877-933-2484. Text the word book to that number, 877-933-2484. But I would love to know from you, dear listener, what does wisdom look like for you today? What is the strategies that God's giving you? Because for some, it might be rest. Others, it might be run. Others, it might be hold your ground, stand your ground, and put your shield up. Others, it might be gather some people in and don't isolate so much. What does wisdom look like for you today? I'd love for you to text that in, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. So true. God has done great things. He's doing great things, even things you cannot see. He's working on your behalf even now. I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for tuning in, talking to Jimmy Page today. He wrote the book Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. We've got 7 copies to give away, short readings that just really will motivate you. Again, keep your eye on the prize to live life very intentionally and focused. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So before the break, we were talking about one of the devos that you title rumble strips, and you liken it to when we're on a car on the road and our car goes into those rumble strips and kind of shakes us back awake to be focused. That life does that too if we've got boundaries in place. And you said God uses warnings to wake us up, keep us on track, and to prevent disaster. Well, we talked about being woken up, but here's one that you write about, keep us on track. The narrow road always leads to life, and God has an amazing adventure planned for us. Choosing detours that lead to destruction create delays, and they rob us of the relationship with Him that He desires. So talk about detours versus staying on track.
Well, I know in my life, just looking back at my history and my family history and being aware of some patterns maybe that have been there for many, many years, for generations actually, I knew early on that I was going to have to make some decisions and put some limitations in my life that would keep me from falling into maybe some similar patterns. So, for example, if I look at, half of my family, they had a problem with alcohol. Alcohol became a dominant part of their life. And so I knew early on, boy, if I don't want to follow in those footsteps, for example, I need to set some boundaries inside of that. And what is it going to mean for me? So where is the rumble strip in my life that prevents me from going outside of God's best for my life and maybe really getting off track from my purpose. So I set those boundaries way in. Like a lot of people, hey, alcohol is not a right or wrong thing. It's a left or right thing. You know, each one of us has to make the decision based upon the history, based upon the future that they have for themselves. And so I set that way back. So I don't drink alcohol, and the reason I don't drink alcohol is to keep me way back from that line that would that I saw derail some others in my family. So I made that decision early on to make that choice, and it really has helped me keep on track and stay focused on the things that God has in front of me.
Let's talk about that in other, that's a great example, but you're thinking about other generational things that have been handed down. Maybe there is a propensity to just constantly worry and borrow tomorrow's trouble, or to fear the future, or to maybe have downward spiraling thoughts that just seem to kind of take on a life of their own. What would be some established boundaries to help a person stay on track in those cases?
Well, you know, and this is probably true of most of us, right, where you can get into a negative thought pattern, and you may have inherited that, or that may just be part of your own DNA. So one of the things I've had to do is I use scripture in a significant way about taking every thought captive. So I listen to the thoughts that I have. I pay attention to the words that I'm thinking and the words that I'm saying. And then I create a mantra to get out of that, for example. So if I'm facing a situation and I'm anxious and I'm worried about it and I'm stressed out about it, I simply say this: hey, I'm better under pressure. I'm made for this moment. God has placed me in this place for this moment, and I'm ready. So I change the conversation a lot of times because I want to break those bad patterns of thinking that lead to those awful emotions of anxiety and fear and worry.
You know, that reminds me of an article, Jimmy, that I read a couple of years ago, and they discerned that children who battle anxiety, the same hormones that they release when they're stressed are exactly the same as when they're excited. So when they're going to Disney World versus they're stressed about a test or singing in the choir in front of a bunch of people. And so they did two test groups with the one group of kids who battled anxiety. They just tried to get them calm down. The second group, they said, we want you just to take the short leap from I'm stressed to I'm excited. So they had these little ones say, I'm so excited about this choir concert. I'm super excited about this test. And they realized those people, those kids outperformed, I think something like by 50%, because it was such a short leap, because it was a similar feeling, but just they reframed it. Yeah. And I thought that was a secular study, but it's fascinating. And, you know, the Bible always says those things first, right? But there's something to be said about that, right?
Oh, there's no question. I do those very same things. In fact, I probably read that study at the same time you did, because for me, I knew that what I was feeling felt familiar, you know, that stress, that nervousness, that anxiety, it feels familiar. And if I just reframe it in my mind and I say, no, I'm excited, I'm ready to go, for example, I'm better under pressure, we got this, you know, or I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. As soon as you reframe it, then all of a sudden, you know, if you can change the way you see something, the thing that you see changes. And I love that. And that has been true in my life so many times, where I just have to change the way I look at it to get a different emotional reaction.
Boy, that's very good. Let's jump over to the Devo that's titled Prayer Changes Everything. You give some very tangible advice on prayer. Tell me what you've learned about prayer over the years.
Well, I think even most recently, you know, one of the things that strikes me in our current days is how little control I actually have. I think there's a part of me as kind of a hard driver that says, you know, I'm kind of, I work hard, I plan, and I make it happen. You know, you can fall into that trap of thinking that, boy, this is actually, I'm able to produce the result. Yeah, I got this, exactly. And it's encouraging, but it may not actually be accurate. So one of the things I've learned so much about prayer is that it puts me in a position of understanding that I'm really not in control, that I have to stay connected to the source. There's nothing that can substitute putting my plans down and lifting God's purposes up. So it's an act of surrender. You know, just this idea that I am dependent upon God. I have to slow down long enough to let God know what's going on in my life. Not that he needs to know, he already knows everything, but to get it out there and then to listen long enough to say, hey, this is a really, I need wisdom. I need to hear from God before I take another step. I need to trust that God is in control and let some stuff go, the stuff that I'm holding on to so tightly. I need to let it go and really trust that God's plans will be fulfilled in my life.
I often see prayer. I mean, I'm an intercessor. That's just, I'm more, I feel alive in the secret place of prayer than I am anywhere else. I'm an introvert and I thrive on that place of prayer. But I've realized over the years, it really is planting seeds. They go underground and there's that time in between before you see the harvest. And you've got to be able to think long if you're going to pray hard. But once you start to see evidence of God's faithfulness and your prayers really do move the heavens and earth, people who've learned that secret, there's no going back, because there's not, to me, there's not a better use of my time than appealing to God about things on earth. And I love how you talked about be specific, don't be general. God loves details. Say a bit more about that.
Well, there's no question. I mean, God wants us to verbalize exactly what we're thinking and what we're feeling, not so much for him, but really for us. And I think oftentimes we think we pray these sweeping prayers, but yet we forget that God really does care about the details, the smallest things. I remember when I was a young dad, and I had a challenging stretch there with one of my kids. I think he was probably 7 or 8. And I remember thinking, gosh, you know, I was telling Ivelisse, my wife, you know, this doesn't seem to be fixing. You know, like, why isn't this getting fixed? And I remember her say, Jimmy, you just need to pray about it. When you pray about it, God moves. And I know that he delights in answering the prayers of a father to his son. So as soon as she said that, I'm like, gosh, snap out of it, man. You got to pray. You know. So I would pray very specific things about my relationship with my son. And I tell you, Susie, no kidding, within a day or two, though, we started to experience breakthrough in areas that were frustrating before. And that's when I learned, probably in the most tangible way early on as a dad, the value of specific prayers.
Boy, that's so good. I am talking to Jimmy Page. He co-authored with his friend and colleague Dan Britton the devotional Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. And we have 7 copies to give away today. I would love to get your name on the drawing. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Also would love to know, what is God saying to you right now? What is he speaking to? What does wisdom look like for you? Because you know what? He speaks to us in such unique ways, unique to our season of life. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of proposition when we walk with God. He speaks to us individually. So what's he saying? I would love to know. 877-933-2484. Hey, we'll be back in a moment. You just got to let the song play out, don't you think? Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Talking to my friend Jimmy Page, who co-authored it's like kind of a leather-bound coffee table devotional. This is a beautiful-looking book that you want sitting out on your coffee table. Content is really great, too. It's titled Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. You know, each Devo kind of has its own theme and kind of thrust, and I feel like this one is very much about staying focused, living intentionally. We've got 7 copies to give away today. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We're just drawing from some of the different Devos that are in the book. And one of them is titled Identity Theft. And Jimmy, you write this about what it means to reclaim the real us. You said, if you're a Christian, you've had your original identity restored. The sin that stole your true identity, separating you from God, has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now you have a new identity, not only in name, but also throughout your entire being. is only God can do. Maybe explain that even for the person listening today for whom this is a new concept. Maybe they're new to the faith or they stumbled on the dial and they want so much to know that their identity is made new.
Well, there's no question. You know, I think a lot of times today especially, people are really searching for their identity. You know, who am I? And they link that oftentimes, especially this new generation, they want to have a sense of purpose and a sense of direction. So a lot of times they're trying to figure out, who am I? You know, what do I stand for? Who do I stand with? What are the things that I stand against? And a lot of times the enemy will just make you the sum total of kind of what you have and what you do. You know, it's not really who you are as a person anymore. It's really found in, well, what do you do? You know, what's your work? That's where your worth is often found. And I think that God is trying to say, hey, wait a minute. Your identity, your very identity is rooted in me. You know, I remember Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me and through me. And he accomplishes his purposes now in my life. But I remember before I came to a faith in Christ, I remember just searching, you know, having this search and saying, you know, what is my life going to be about? And I think this is a real sticky sentence. When you know who you are, then you'll know how to live. And I remember when I first graduated from college, I remember doing all kinds of things to discover, what kind of person do I want to be? What do I want my life to stand for? And I think now more than ever before, we need to first know that when we come to faith in Christ, we are his child. We are his beloved son or daughter. And that gives us value in and of itself. You know, we are made in God's image. We are his creation. And then when we come to faith, we're now a member of his family. That makes me secure. That makes me feel loved. That makes me know that no matter what circumstances are happening out there, inside of me, I can have that security and that peace that I so long for.
Amen. Somebody give me an amen. That's just excellent. And when you think about, you know, we were once in the kingdom of darkness. Before you trusted Christ for salvation, you were in the kingdom of darkness. You were dictated by sin and you were bent towards hell. As painful as that is, that's just true. But when you trust Jesus, he transfers you, as scripture says, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the light of his dear son. And I think it's important to have a visual that there's a massive chasm between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. I think in our mind's eye, we vacillate back and forth between these two ideas based on how we're performing or how God is performing for us. Am I, am I legit? Am I a have not? I've blown it today. But we've got to visualize that chasm, because when you've been transferred in, you've grafted into a royal family line. Not that it doesn't matter what you do, but who you are, as you say, has been established. I don't know if we even talk about that enough in the kingdom, but it changes everything once you start to get a hold of it.
It really does. You know, if I was drafted by the New England Patriots to play football, and no matter where I went to college, now I'm in the big leagues, right? I'm in the NFL, and I go to play for the New England Patriots, who are winning an awful lot. You probably know this.
Yes.
They're winning a lot of games. Yeah. And but when you enter into that organization, when you enter into that team, there are certain expectations. There's a certain belonging. Boy, you know, you maybe walk a little taller, not in a prideful way, but maybe. But you walk a little taller, and there's certain expectations now that lead to probably the greatest experience you could ever have playing football. And I think that's the neat thing, is when we're brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life, we're basically set free. We're set free from the old ways. And I can't tell you how often the enemy will remind you of all the mistakes that you've made. And I think that is where we get tripped up, right? We forget that we've been delivered from that. We're new. We're mm-hmm. made new. We're in God's family. And God now has this amazing plan that he wants to roll out in front of us if we simply trust him, follow him, pick up our cross daily, and walk in his ways. And don't get bogged down in failure or missteps along the way. That is not who you are. You know, God sees your future, not your failure. So even once you're born again and you're walking with God, it's not going to be a perfect walk. But remember, God sees your future, not your failure. Deal with it.
Amen.
And then get back in the game.
Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. And I often say, too, when God's about to do a new thing, the devil brings up an old thing because he wants you looking back when you need to be looking up. And I think it's so typical when God really is about to do a new thing, the enemy brings in old condemnation. Can't believe you said that. Can't believe you did that. And like fears of exposure and those kinds of things, because that's how he fights so dirty. There's a passage I wish I just came to my mind, so I don't have the reference, but it says, he's made you perfect while he's making you holy. And I feel like this book really supports that so much, that he's given us perfect standing before God as if we've never sinned. But the process of sanctification, we have cooperation, we have a part, and God plays a part. And one of your devos is about detox, and you talk about identify, remove, and replace. So talk about, you know, soul detox, life detox, just in that process of being made holy.
Yeah, well, one of my years, actually in 2010, my word for the year, every year we do a one-word theme for the year, and we watch as God brings transformation to our life. But in 2010, my word for the year was detox. And the whole idea was, okay, is there any toxic material in my life, the things I'm seeing, maybe the things I'm eating, maybe the friendships or maybe a toxic relationship in my life that's preventing me from being everything God made me to be? Whatever it was, I started to evaluate everything. And by everything, I mean everything. And whenever I identified anything, it was kind of a toxic material, anything that was preventing me from experiencing God's full, abundant life, I had to make a decision about it. So whether it was a bad thought process or whether it was a toxic friendship or whatever it was, I started to make those changes. And what I discovered was God used that process of refining me to help me to get rid of some old habits that were unproductive. And all of a sudden, I was walking around lighter, freer, without the baggage that I used to carry around, because I desired that holy life. I desired a life that truly pleased God.
And that might be for somebody today. Maybe what you were doing and what you've been doing even recently isn't sin in itself, but it's something, you know, the Bible says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There are things that aren't really sin, but they're slowing you down and you know it. And maybe this is a time to go, you know what? I got to shed that weight. I can't be doing that. I'm not saying literal weight, but maybe whatever it is, you pray that God would speak to your heart, because when you run the race to win, there's nothing like it. When you're shedding the things that slow you down and hinder you. And let's go to that one word idea. In fact, I want to have you back, unless Jesus comes to get us first, but I want to have you back before the end of the year. We've done this a few years in a row where you came in, I think it was around December, and we did the one word conversation where we helped people find their one word for the next year. Those were always such powerful conversations. But talk about, you have another book titled One Word, and then you've got a devo in this book about the whole one word concept. Speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, we discovered early on, Dan and I were kind of doing life together as accountability partners with a couple of other guys, and then we discovered early on that New Year's resolutions were ineffective for us, and we were pretty driven at this point. We were young men, not young in our faith, but young men in life. And we made this commitment to each other to say, hey, listen, I'm in this relationship to help you maximize your life. Be your very best in every dimension, whether you're a dad someday or you're married or whatever those things are, right, in your workplace, in your mission. And we were really in it together, just linking arms and doing life that way. And we finally got tired of the failure of New Year's resolutions, of, you know, kind of falling off the wagon around February 10th. And we picked up this concept of driving our entire life through a one-word theme for the year, each year. And then it's a simple process, right? The first step of the process is to look in and ask God, hey, what is going on inside of me? What needs to go? What needs to change? What's in the way of me being my very best? And we unplug from the noise, and then we go to step two, which is to look up, and we invite God into the process and ask him if he were to put a word theme, one word theme over our life for that year, something that needed to happen to bring the greatest positive life change, what word could capture that? And then once we listen and discover that word, we would post it in prominent places, and we'd ask each other about, hey, what's God doing with that word this year? And so now we've got 21 years worth of words, which have really formed chapters in our life, chapters in our story, that have really helped to refine us and hopefully make us into more than we would have had we lacked that focus.
Well, what I love, first of all, is that you don't just sort of pick a word out of the sky, that you really wait on the Lord and ask him to speak to you. And then it turns out to be so much more prophetic than you even realize. You write it down, you keep it before you, and that word starts to mean something that you probably didn't even see coming. I mean, give us an example or two of how that was the case for you.
Oh, no question. And you know my wife's story with her battle with cancer. And I remember in 2008, when she was first diagnosed with cancer, she went in for a couple surgeries, and by God's grace, those went very well. But we kept getting bad news. You know, every time we went to the oncologist, we would get the next level of bad news. It got to the point where I had to ask the doctors to tell us something hopeful at the beginning, even if they had to make it up, just so that we could get in a positive mindset. But going into the year 2009, I remember Evelise saying to me that, hey, she knew immediately what her word was, because in the face of all this bad news, she knew that she had to hold on to belief. And her word for the year was believe. The whole idea was that no matter what the outside circumstances look like, we believe that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. And we were going to trust God with the outcome, no matter how it went, and we were going to trust him in the process of it. So over the course of the next year, of course, you know, she had to do battle. And that word, believe, trusting in God no matter what the circumstances, became something that helped her overcome the fear of a really bad diagnosis. And, you know, of course, now we sit 12 years later, and she's completely cancer-free, and she's turned that very word, believe, into a brand new cancer organization called Believe Big, which is transforming the way we approach the treatment of cancer around the world.
It is amazing. It's an amazing organization. And just a side note, as many of you know, my brother-in-law passed with pancreatic cancer, and my sister every year does a golf tournament. And Believe Big donated a number of things for the auction for that event. And I just love it. I think it's just such a unique angle. But that's just one example of how these one-word stories just move you. I think it's so powerful. So Lord willing, we got to get you back toward the end of the year. But we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Devo titled 3D, where you talk about daily devotions and how they take on a deeper meaning in our lives as we pursue and we persist and we walk with God. Talking to Jimmy Page with his friend Dan Britton. They co-authored the Devotional Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. Again, we've got 7 copies to give away. Looking forward to get one in your hands. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. What a great conversation we're having with Jimmy Page, who co-authored the devotional. It's like, if you picture like a leather-bound, really kind of vintage, ancient book sitting on your coffee table, that's what Wisdom Walks looks like. It's titled Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. Again, we've got 7 copies to give away. Text book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So, Jimmy, talk about the Devo that you titled 3D. You talk about our daily devotions and how they take on a deeper meaning as we walk more consistently with God.
Well, you know, every new habit takes time and energy to stick. You know, it doesn't just happen easily, generally speaking. Like when you're trying to change a behavior, it usually takes some effort to do it. So I remember, you know, the first time that I decided that I was going to do a daily devotional and that I was going to spend those first moments of every day together with God, I set some ridiculous time. I think at first I set it at 5 a.m. And, you know, and this is coming off of college where, you know, my time clock was probably a little later than most. But I remember thinking to myself, no, I really need to be disciplined. I need to start out the day in the right way because, you know, what we say today is, hey, win the morning, win the day. And boy, that has become true. But this whole idea of the stages of establishing those devotionals is so important. You know, I remember in the early days, it was really hard. You know, the first D is drudgery. It was really hard to be consistent and start the day that way. I found that I was tired. I found that I wasn't waking up very easily, and it was hard. But once you start to get a little bit of momentum and you start to get some discipline to it where you say, hey, I'm not going to miss. I'm hitting that every day. Once you start to get some of that momentum where you're doing the thing that you need most instead of what you want right now. And I remember at the time, I wanted more sleep. You know, there were a dozen things I wanted more. But then all of a sudden, that discipline of showing up regularly starts to take root in you. And then you realize it becomes a delight. It becomes something that you can't actually live without. At least you can't live well without it. And that's exactly what happened with me, and I know it happened with Dan as well. It's just making the commitment to show up even though it's hard, creating that discipline where you're going to choose to do it even when you don't feel like it. Over time, that starts to build, and you start to see the value of how it sets your mind and your heart and your spirit in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, you know, Susie, you start getting those divine appointments. You start seeing that your life is actually making a difference for someone else, whereas before you were really oftentimes consumed by your own concerns. And all of a sudden, your life starts to take on a new purpose of sorts.
Love that. So from drudgery to discipline to delight, maybe that's the vision you need, because when you have a lot of starts and stops, I think you tend to lose confidence, because the more you have those starts and stops, the easier it is to believe, you know, this isn't for me. But as you stick with it, that drudgery will turn to discipline and it'll become delight. And you're right. Jesus Christ is waiting today to empower you with his presence. He longs to be with you. Why not engage God today? Yes, it's hard, but it's worth it. Stay with it until it becomes a delight. Okay, let's hop to the Devo titled, Can You Stand the Heat? Life is Tough. Be Ready. And you write this, our fight isn't really against other people. We have an enemy who will do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can discourage you, he will. If he can divide you, he will. If he can cause doubt and disbelief, he will. Those who win the battle are the ones who rely on the power of God. Say more about that.
I think the real turning point for me in this Devo was this, is realizing that life is going to be hard. Like, it, as enjoyable as it is, the joy and highs that you experience, as many as of those that you experience, there's also going to equally be the hard things. Life is tough. And that the more ready I was for those circumstances, the more prepared I was, the easier it was to weather those hard times. So I just started to have the mindset that I was going to, and this may sound maybe negative in some ways, but I was expecting to face challenges. I would wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I know that today's going to have blessings and it may also have challenges. And Lord, prepare me, make me ready. Help me to expect it. Help me to see those things that might normally derail me, and instead help me to turn it around, just like he always does, you know, turning pain into purpose, or to turning a challenge into an opportunity. So I started to look at it differently. And I know that God always, you know, it's interesting. I remember reading in Acts chapter 20 how it talks about being compelled by the Spirit. The only thing that he knew was that he was going to go into every city and that hardships were waiting. This is Paul speaking. He knew that hardships were waiting. But then in the next breath, he says, but I don't consider my life worth anything in comparison to living out the purpose that God has put before me, to knowing him and making him known, preaching the good news. So all of a sudden, the circumstances in Paul's life became a vehicle for bringing good news. And that's what this is. Can you stand the heat? The more pressure that you face, the more challenges that you may, you know, maybe seeing in front of you, can you see it as a vehicle to bring good news to others? And that really is what that Devo is all about.
Very powerful. Talk about the four O's of life: opportunities, opposition, obedience, outcomes. I mean, you've touched on it a little bit, but in this context, give us a little more.
Well, you know, I truly believe that in order to rise to the occasion, you have to have an occasion to rise to. And when I think about opportunities, you know, facing these opportunities where God lays out the footsteps in front of you, sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. But if you're trusting God with today and you're saying, Lord, put opportunities in front of me, and you pursue those God-given dreams, you pursue that with passion, you can know, rest assured, that if it's a godly vision, that it's going to face opposition. The enemy will come against you early on to try and discourage you along the way. And a lot of times people break down in that discouragement where they say, well, I'm getting a lot of opposition. I thought this was the course that God wanted me to take, but since I'm facing all of these challenges, maybe that's not what God wanted. And what God's saying is, hey, maybe it is, and maybe he's just asking you to rest in his purposes, to, you know, revisit what that original vision was so that you can make progress to it. Don't give up along the way. Understand that you're going to face opposition, and then take advantage of those opportunities so that you don't give up along the way before God affects his purposes.
And then speak to the obedience and then the outcomes, because I think so often we try to force outcomes and preempt outcomes, and yet Scripture is pretty clear that outcomes are in his hands. Increase comes from God. And we love formulas, and God just won't let us play by those rules. So we, you know, obey and we persevere, which is just critical to maturing. But then ultimately outcomes are in his hands. So say a word about that, especially maybe to the person listening today who's feels like they've diligently sown the seeds, they've faced opposition, they just have not yet seen the outcome.
Yeah, a lot of, it's funny, you reminded me of a story of a good friend of mine, Mark Batterson. He wrote The Circle Maker, and he's a prolific writer, and you probably know him. He's been a great friend over many years, and he said to me this. He said, about the time that we are ready to give up, is generally around the time that God is about to bring breakthrough. And so when we've reached the end of our human endurance, so to speak, that's the time to trust even more, to not go back, to not quit. Instead, it's to hold on tighter to the promises that God has given you. And I remember once you talked about receiving a healing recently. And I remember one of the stories he told me, he suffered with chronic asthma his whole life. And he began to pray about it. He's like, my gosh, how have I forgotten to pray about this very specific thing in my life? So he started to pray for it. And sure enough, God delivers him, heals him of this asthma. When he had lost all hope, he had basically given up, he said, I'm going to try one more time. He believed that God could do it. He prayed hard and specific for it. And he thought long term. Hey, even if it doesn't correct today, I'm going to be consistent and persistent in the way I pursue God. I'm going to be obedient in this walk. And then sure enough, of course, in this specific story, God healed him. And he actually counts the number of days that he's been healed since God answered his prayer. So I think the message is don't give up. Do what you know God has asked you to do and trust him with the outcome. Obey today and then trust him with the outcome in the future.
Amen. And that story of asthma, he had like life-threatening asthma. It was a serious, serious issue. He could go nowhere, even as an adult, without his inhaler. So it's a pretty miraculous healing. So, Jimmy, one last question for you. What do you know about God now that you didn't know 5, 10 years ago?
Oh, what a great question. Should have lobbed that one to me earlier. Jeez. I would say this, that he's good.
Yeah.
And regardless of the circumstances that you're facing, you know, we've all, to one extent or another, we've all experienced adversity, some overwhelming adversity at times. And I just have discovered that if you wait long enough, you will see and you will experience the real goodness of God.
Amen. Jimmy, that's fantastic. We got to pause here. You got to come back, and I'm praying that you can come back for sure to do a show on the one word toward the end of the year. Would love that so much. Thank you for your precious heart for the kingdom and giving us your time today, Jimmy.
Thanks again, Susie. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you as well. And friend, did you hear that? If you wait long enough, you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. We'll leave that drawing open for about another 15 minutes or so. 877-933-2484. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.